How sweep it is. I write this stuff. I really do. The Rangers finished off the sweep of the Capitals on Sunday down in the nation's capital with a 3-1 victory. It's on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's kind of like the playoffs are starting, right? Yeah. Molly, Brooksy, and I react to the dominant series from the Blue Shirts and look ahead to them potentially going up against the Hurricanes. Potentially. It's coming up next on an off to round two edition of Up in the Blue Seats from the New York Post.
There's a Yankee story you're accustomed to hearing. This is not that Yankee story.
The 1990 Yankees.
It was rock bottom.
A horror show. A laughing stock.
There was a ball player who brought live cougars into the clubhouse.
I was in a relationship with Mel Hall at the age of 15.
Are you kidding me? How was that acceptable?
This is the Yankee story they don't like to tell.
It really was the Bronx Zoo.
Bronx Zoo 90. Crime, chaos, and baseball. Streaming now, only on Peacock.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats Playoff Edition. What's up, gang? Our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I'm former Ranger Brian Boyle alongside Rangers beat writer Molly Walker and our Hall of Famer Larry Brooks. So off to round two for the Rangers after a sweep of the Capitals. Swept them. What'd you think was going to happen?
Just that.
That's not a rhetorical question.
That was a rhetorical because it should have been rhetorical because this is how it was supposed to go. They were the best team in the NHL this season, playing against a team that made it into the playoffs the last day of the regular season over probably two to three teams, you could argue, that maybe deserved to be in it more. And I think the result is exactly what it had to be for this Rangers team to keep going at the rate that they are. And just simply because, you know, it was the outcome that, you know, was expected.
Yeah. Well, listen, once it became clear, and it became clear very, very early, that Ovechkin was not going to compete, that he just had no interest in it. The Caps just didn't have any weapons, you know, with which they could really inflict harm on the Rangers, except by, you know, being dogged and being tenacious and getting the Rangers into this tight spaces series. And they did. And, you know, what was impressive to me about the Rangers, obviously winning four straight, is that they remain patient. They remain poised. They didn't get frustrated. They didn't generate a lot on 5-on-5. I think I don't know what the actual analytics were, but I think Washington had more chances 5-on-5 than the Rangers. The Rangers really couldn't generate a lot of speed through the neutral zone, but they kept at it. You know, they kept working, and their talent. The talent disparity on the special teams was so obvious that, you know, when their talent was allowed to take over, which it did on the specialty teams, it took over. And, you know, I think it was, it was 240 minutes, the minimum. They got through it. They're going to have to be sharper. But it was a great platform for them to off of which to begin this playoffs.
Yeah, they've gone through quite a bit this season. They've done, really, really well. They've overcome certain things throughout the year. This is a different type of challenge. This is so unique, I think. You know, say what you want about Wash, smoke and mirrors to get in, whatever. Spencer Carberry did what he did and got them in there. I have some respect for that man, actually. You know, just piecing it together, like, you know, incredible. And it's emotional, it's hard, and you don't want to ever be embarrassed like that. And that's what it is. You get swept, it's embarrassing. And you get swept on home ice, you know. Look, Ted Leonsis gets two playoff gates. Whether or not they were all Rangers fans, doesn't matter. He gets that. He gets those gates. You know, there's work to be done in Wash, but you had to. There's still good hockey players on that side. I liked how the Rangers, you know, sort of dictated the terms, but also played and took what was given. They didn't try to blow it out. They didn't try to, you know, impress the fans at home. They weren't getting frustrated with who was doing what, although, you know, big boys on the power play did get it done. And I think there was a clutch factor to that. I know it was 3-0, but that Panarin goal in any other series is, we're still talking about it. We're talking about it. I mean, that was clutch. That's a clutch play from a big player, big time player. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully that whatever nicks and dings that they got are all squared away. There's a couple guys I think have certainly another level to their game, and I'm sure they're going to want to, you know, address that. But this is an important few days. You need to figure out a way to.
Few days. And I think also, you know, you mentioned, I we're talking about what we liked within the four-game sweep, which the four-game sweep is what is to be.
Yeah, the result.
Honestly, because, you know, nobody else did it. And it's really interesting. I was looking back yesterday, and, you know, there's only been one Stanley Cup champion in the hard cap era that swept the first round. I was shocked. You know, I was looking back to see, and I thought, well, there'll be six teams that won in four, and that propelled them one. And it was Colorado 2 years ago. Most Stanley Cup champions went five or six. But, you know, other than taking care of business, which I think was important because, you know, you lose one and you just never know. You know, a guy trips, breaks his ankle, and you just never know. But other than that, I thought that Panarin's goals in games one and four, you know, he gets on the board right away for the 2-0 lead in game one after the, you know, back-breaking Rempe, you know, gets the first one. And then he gets the series winning goal. So immediately, you know, the burden on him is somewhat lifted. You know, he's already performed. And so did Zibanejad in the first round. He was dominant at different times. Led the series in points with seven. But he, you know, he was dynamic with the way he played. And we talked about it, I think, last week or even the week before, that you could see his game coming the final week or two of the regular season. It amped up. And I thought he brought that into this series against Washington, where he and of course another guy, Trocheck, who has been, you know, one of their best players all year, was probably maybe their best player in this series. So, you know, everything kind of fell into place, you know, other than the, you know, the 5-on-5 attack, which I think they'll have to improve.
I think their stars were their stars, but it was also a team effort at the same time. 10 different goal scorers, 14 different point getters. I mean, it was a shared responsibility, but with the stars leading the way and setting the tempo, which obviously is just a key for this Rangers team in general. But I mean, I mean, sweeping in four games, you really can't ask for anything better than that. You can, you know, argue and go back and forth of whether it was the dominant performance that maybe some people would want, maybe not. There was nothing fancy or pretty about it, but I think as a foundation, like you said, Larry, this, you know, this is what they needed to do, what they had to do, what they were supposed to do, and they did.
I recognize too when Washington was trying to get them off their game even after a whistle, and it was too late, but.
You know what I was actually going to ask you. You know what it reminded me of, the way they responded to the physical challenges, the Washington, you know, the McElrath, the Tom Wilson, you know, the couple. It was almost as if Laviolette, I don't think he ever uses the expression, but it reminds me of AV saying whistle a whistle without the coach having actually saying that, you know, and holding the team back, but that they are, they do play whistle to whistle. It's really impressive.
Yeah, they have enough guys where they'll get you back. I think that they've done a really, it's a tactical thing that they have to be able to, that fear has got to be there on the other side. Like that bench on the other team, whoever it's going to be, you know, and for Washington, they have to know, we'll get you, but it's not going to hurt us. So, you know, do what you want to do. A little noogie from Tom Wilson to Adam Fox, which I don't understand. You know, I don't get it.
Not great gamemanship.
You know what, Brian? You can talk to the mentality of an NHL player. So we all know what Tom Wilson represents, and we all know what he does. Now it's not made up. You know, there are incidents caught on tape. You know, his rap sheet is real. It's not invented, and yet. You know, he did some silly stuff over these four games. Nothing, you know, nothing egregious, nothing outrageous. He didn't, you know, look to maim or hurt anybody.
No assaulting Artemi Panarin.
Some silly stuff. But he's Tom Wilson. And yet, on the handshake line, he is accorded as much respect and as much affection from the Rangers as anybody on the Washington team. And
maybe even more.
It's maybe more. It's fascinating, the mindset. To me, it is. It's kind of like, okay, you know, it's over. You're just a guy. And I remember a couple of years ago, right? Kreider was talking about how he's friends with Tom Wilson. And, you know, he trains with him in the off season. You know, he spends time with him. It's just such an interesting perspective that, you know, that you guys have in that.
He's a wild card.
You have it.
But he's also a wild card. And he's probably gained a little bit of respect because he has developed his on-ice game. He can affect the game with goals and with good play, but he can also really hurt you, physically injure you, take you out. And I think, I'm not speaking for them or anybody, but the respect is probably like you probably could have. There's probably a few moments where you could have and you didn't. Like, I'll give an example. We played against Minnesota 2 years ago. And it was a close game, and I was in the neutral zone. I was a few feet away from the boards. I chipped a puck in and flying by my right shoulder, and just a little nudge was Marcus Foligno. And I usually know where guys are, and especially when he's on the ice, I'll know where he is. And I'm not going to shy away, but that's just, you need to be aware of. That's part of playing. That's a skill set you need to have. The guys that get blown up a lot don't have it, and it's going to hurt them in the long run. But I look back, we both made a change after I chipped it in, and I looked over to him, and he like smiled and winked at me. And I'm like, you could have ended my season and probably my career.
But you didn't.
I just looked at him, and I'm like, whew, thank you. And he's like, no problem. And that was it. And it's like, okay, respect, because it's a tight game. They weren't necessarily probably exactly where they wanted to be. They were a good team, but you want to come into Pittsburgh and win when you're playing Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and you can run their biggest guy, and you just kind of give me a bump. So maybe I had earned a little respect, but I always love him. I love that guy as a player. I love his brother as a player, but I was shocked, and I'm just like, thanks, dude. And he knew I was in a vulnerable spot. Like Tom Wilson, there's probably times where he could have done that too. He probably would have gotten a fine or a suspension, but no, down 3-0, especially game four, he didn't, he gave a little noogie to Fox because they scored, and that's the frustration coming out. But, you know, 5 years ago, Tom Wilson would have hurt somebody.
He went right for Fox. Dave Maloney lost his mind.
I love Dave Maloney.
We love him too. It was the perfect, just exactly the response you would imagine.
So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of probably along the lines of where that comes from. Because, yeah, I mean, he could go out on a lot of shifts. He hits that hard. He skates that well, and he picks his spots that well where he can do that.
Yeah, if you watched it, every single guy gave him a pat on the chest.
Every single guy.
And
Larry's
the smirk.
I was banging away at his keyboard. This guy.
But you know what? And I think I talked about this. No, it was a conversation I had with somebody in the last few weeks. It's kind of like how my perspective on supplementary discipline has kind of evolved. It goes back and forth. I mean, because if the league, you know, if say, you know, the head hunt and, you know, a head hit, everybody on the outside thinks it should be 12 games, 18 games. The guy should, you know, suspended for life. The league suspends him for four, you know, three, you know, whatever it is. And everybody on the outside is outraged, including me, for the most part. But the league is okay with it. The Players Association, for the most part, is okay with it. So then why would I be so upset? Honestly, it's kind of like, well, the people involved are, you know, it's their safety. It's the player's safety. The players don't seem to care. The owners who are paying these players, they don't seem to care. So why am I so outraged? Why is it ruining my day? Yeah, honestly, that's kind of like, you know, really, if these guys want to line up and accept Tom Wilson, it's fine with me. I mean, you know, who am I? I'm a guy who's watching the game. Yeah, you know, I'm not
the players. The players care. What are you going to do though? What are you going to do as a player? No one's going to go. I mean, maybe time will see. I don't know about that, but
it's just interesting to me that, you know, it's just interesting to me how.
Well, they won.
Well, that's part.
You win a series, you sweep a team. You're not going to be like, hey, you know, F you. You're not going to spit on the guy. Like it's just like you're going home now. That was a fun 8 days.
Our Timmy Panarin smirk when he was shaking Tom Wilson's hand said that exactly. I feel
it's just like
it was. See,
I might not have gotten you, but I got your buddy.
Enjoy your tea time. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's been. And the other thing is, there's a big karma thing, and that's why those handshake lines are. I'm not going to call them sacred because you see different things here and there. I saw one in the American League. I'd love to get to the bottom of that.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
There was one with
Dale Weiss, wasn't there? In Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah, Weiss and Lucic. Lucic wasn't happy, but I mean, he's the losing. Wait, no, they won that series. Yeah, I don't know. When you win the series, it's kind of like whatever.
Yeah, right. But bringing it back to the Rangers, that was a key in the series. Not getting wrapped up in all that, you know, staying the course.
And, they're very disciplined.
Yeah,
they're really
were.
They play every day like a well-coached team. And again, you know, I've said this so many times, but it goes back to last year's exit meetings when they went in there and they told Drury they wanted to be coached up. And, you know, there was, you know, the 3 or 4 month waiting period. Well, let's, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know, you've gone through a lot of coaches. This group is churned through coaches. So be careful what you wish for. And they have walked the walk and talked, you know, they wanted to be coached. They did.
Yeah. Well, it was a great hire. I was glad they went the way they did. Cause he's, you know, I was always big on him for the motivational stuff. And it looked like I was worried during that little lull they had. And it's an organization, right? They make the right call-ups. We've talked about that. They've injected life. They made some good signings. They made some good trades. And then they're coached well. I mean, their special teams is, you know, you're 5-on-5, obviously, and you got to push the right buttons, have the right combinations. They've been pretty set there. They've adjusted before the playoffs, their D pairings, which I think is, you know, you just won the President's Trophy. You got to give the coach some credit.
They look
for that.
Good. Yeah. No, they look good. But looking ahead, no matter what, Hurricanes, who it will likely be, or Islanders, going to take. It's like a reflex for Brian at this point.
They stink.
it's gonna be a loftier task.
No one's arguing with me.
No, stop.
Go ahead. I'd love to hear someone say they don't stink.
But no matter what, it's going to take a much loftier effort. If we're going to zero in on a team right now that it's looking more likely, it's obviously the Hurricanes. They have a chance to close out the Islanders Tuesday night.
If they don't close out the Islanders, they stink too.
It will probably happen, but you never know. But yeah, this is, I mean, a rematch of the second round 2 years ago. That series went seven. But I mean, what I remember the most about that series is the definitive win in game seven for the Rangers. What was it? 4-0.
Is that in Raleigh, right?
It was in Raleigh, and the Rangers were the first team to beat the Hurricanes on home ice in the playoffs that season. I'm excited. Raleigh is electric. PNC Arena is a great atmosphere.
So loud.
Yeah, it's so loud. It's a great, great atmosphere. So it should be a lot of fun.
During the regular season, it's at least 50% Ranger fans. And, you know, Ranger fans take over that arena. In the playoffs, it's a little bit different, but you know, assuming it's Carolina, it'll be a much faster pace. You know, the tempo and the Washington series was what it was. But the tempo was a very low event series. It was. It didn't have a great playoff feel to it. This next round will.
They got to use that.
The Rangers will be ready for it. They understand the jump that needs. They'll get into it very quickly. They will. I'm not concerned that I remember. I don't know. Because I do think they got something out of that. I think they got a lot out of the special teams. I think their power play now is fearsome. Honestly, I do.
And they have like six different setups. It's like a Knicks offense.
It is so creative. It is so dynamic. They add stuff every day.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is the best. It is the best version of that it's ever been. And whether it gets better, who knows? They'll be facing tougher opposition. But they will add more to it. Their penalty kill now is as much a threat to score as not. So I do think there was something concrete they got out of this first round. But I think they also, and I think winning a series is an accomplishment.
It sure is.
Winning the division is an accomplishment. Getting the first seed in the East is an accomplishment. Winning the President's Trophy is an accomplishment. Winning the first round is an accomplishment. It's been a year of achievement for this team. I expect them to meet the challenge next round, but they'll have to be better.
For sure. Real quick on the special teams, power play specifically. Maybe not Knicks offense because I've watched 0 seconds of basketball this year, but they have different setups and they go to them randomly what I see. It is not like they go on the ice and it's almost like a play call in football. We're doing this. And if it doesn't work, then we're doing this and we're audible into this. It's like,
It's the same off of face-offs.
Yeah.
It's the same off of face-offs lately too. Even 5-on-5 face-offs, when they have a face-off, offensive zone face-off, they are running something every single time. And 8 out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times, they're getting a shot off in some regard at this point.
There were 7 passes in the offensive zone before the Trocheck power play goal was. Honestly, it was one of the prettiest goals I've ever seen. I mean,
it confused everyone in Washington. Yeah.
Honestly,
it was the goalie fell down. They were spinning. Their heads were all over. They didn't know what was going on. And the only other, I mean, maybe not the only other team, but the team that comes to mind when I watch a power play is Edmonton, and it's because of 97. Because they have two guys on either side that get, Draisaitl's over on his off wing, Hyman's in front, and he slides over. But Connor just does whatever he wants. So it's like, he's just going to take what's given. This team, as a unit, even times without Fox this year, with Gustafson in there, as a unit, adapts so well or dictates it. Like, no, we'll go with this.
And I know I spent a lot of the last 2 years complaining about how the first unit never got off, that it wasn't right. Their second unit never got on. Their guys, but watching it this year, why would they get off?
This is
a power play unit that should be on. That should be on for as long as it believes that it can be productive. So if that's a minute 40, that's a minute 40.
Right. And my favorite is Artemi has been staying on with the second unit lately. Artemi's, which I mean, I imagine that's, you have to have the coach's approval for that. So it's not like he's just going rogue and doing that, but it's unbelievable though.
What
it's
are they
really
gonna
something.
Tell him, get off.
Yeah, you think you're going to tell Artemi Panarin to get off the ice on the power play?
The first guy I saw just stay on for, you know, for 2 minutes was Kovalchuk in New Jersey. It didn't matter. He was on for 2 minutes every power play. It was 2 minutes.
Yeah, Ovi was doing it too, but he didn't really go anywhere.
Right. No, he didn't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's in Pittsburgh, the second power play unit had a joke that they called themselves PP6. We're power play six. Because it was like, what are you going to do? Like,
right.
Well, if this right. happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, then we, oh no,
then
but
you,
what about
then
if,
you go.
Yeah, then we go.
Right.
But Brian, you talk about having a guy like McDavid who's able to just do whatever he wants on the power play. I look at the Rangers and I think Artemi and Adam Fox have been that way this season. Exactly. With the way that the Rangers have two. They have two players that can play at the top and just, you know, distribute the puck. I mean, Mika. You could throw Mika into Mika. I mean, I think he definitely stays more in the area trying to get off that one timer more often than not. But you definitely can put him in that mix too. But the way that Artemi Panarin finds lanes.
Yeah.
Is unlike anything I've ever seen. And Artemi always says that he's constantly looking for Kreider too, who is just an absolute masterclass in the net front presence department. So you think of all the different aspects of this power play, it really can be unstoppable.
If they all compete too, if you get skating like he's doing, competing like he's doing, I mean, you're going to get what you're getting from Troch. He's getting everything. He's winning all the draws.
Yeah. And I also think, and again, it was the end of the regular season, but they, was it three games? I think it was three straight or three out of four games where they scored a game winning power play.
Right. At the end of the season. And Kreider scored like three of them.
Again, I think this power play is, you know, I think this, they're at their peak and, but I don't think it's at its peak. I think there's,
which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
There'll be new challenges. I assume it'll be in Raleigh or at home anyway, but I think it's going to be Carolina. It should be, but who knows? Again, show me something, Isles.
The challenge from Brian
show
Boyle.
Me something. They're getting better. They don't stink as much as they did stink, but they still kind of stink. I'm rooting for Palms. I like
Kyle. Do you ever have any conversations with them free agency?
No. I don't think so. My agent might have got a feeler. Yeah. I mean, heck, guys love it. A lot of the ex-Islander players are still living out there. So this is no disrespect to their fans.
Sorry, they're probably not listening to this anyway.
Yeah, they do.
That's the automatic disclaimer. No disrespect. That's like when Torts came in as head coach, goes, no disrespect to anybody who was here before, but boy, our team is out of shape. Gee, I wonder who he was talking about.
He did that with every single guy we traded for. You're out of shape. So you're going to have to skate for 2 weeks. And it wasn't like, I don't think the guy, he even looked at him and put his skates on. He just
assumed. It's just an assumption.
No, you're out of shape. Oh, okay. Because you didn't have my training camp. You're out of shape.
Remember when?
You didn't have my training camp.
Remember when Anton Strowman came to camp and somebody asked Torell, I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is.
He told me that to my face in front of the whole team. I don't know what you're doing here.
Ooh,
but Slats and Shoney seem to like you. Sully says he likes you, so I guess you're staying for a little while. You better figure it out. You're gonna
welcome, Brian.
In front of the whole team. Well, I still don't know what you're doing here. Well, I don't know either.
Sheesh.
Doing my best. It's all fun. It's a tricky thing, though. I will say this: it'll be a tricky thing. You can't shut down the engines and then try and turn them back on. So they have to keep them turned on.
Yeah.
Laviolette's done this before. He's made long cup runs before. He's won a cup. So they need to understand that kind of balance between rest, mental rest, and then that just you need to be ready to sprint, puck drop, you know, mentally, physically, everything. Because look, my expectation, I like this team a lot. I really, it's just so much fun to be able to cover it. If the game one doesn't go as planned, I'm not predicting that. I just would think, let's just have a little bit of patience. Let's understand sort of how hard it is to keep that edge when you have an extended time off.
And they've risen to challenges all season long. So there's no reason why going down to the series at any point would result in the same, in a different effort.
Right. You just want your best. I mean, I wish they got a little more from Wash, but they took care of what they did. You can only play the games on the schedule. Great, great first round. Can't ask for more than a sweep. Can't win in three, right? So awesome. Great stuff, guys. That's fun. Let's toss it over to the boiler room. I got a nice little story about winning a round in the playoffs as a member of the Blue Shirts.
I don't think there's going to be easy games in the playoffs. I just don't. You look at the series that are going on around right now, and you watch how hard teams are playing, and you think that it should be a win one way, and yet the other team finds a way to win, or they play a strong game, and it's almost like we're taken back by that. We shouldn't. Every team that's in here is really good, and anybody can beat anybody.
No boiling point today. I went and saw my therapist and calmed myself down a little bit. But come on into the boiler room. Get a little story here about what it's like, a good feeling after an accomplishment of winning a playoff series. And the one that sticks out to me the most was when we ended up beating Montreal. Now, we had a chance to beat Montreal and make it a quick series in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2014. But like we usually did, we like to let the series kind of linger on for a few extra games, and we ended up beating them in six, but at home. But I just remember that feeling right from the buzzer in a 1-0 game, through being in the room with the guys, sharing that. We had those new hats, whatever, you know, you're going to the cup final, you get the hats. They're kind of crappy hats, but you put them on because you do accomplish something, getting the chance to play for the Stanley Cup. And then everybody getting together the next night and watching the Western Conference Finals. It was so cool that we were all invested. No one, whether they did or didn't have a preference on who we were playing, we didn't really say one way or the other. And that game went to overtime. Of course, LA ended up winning it. Alec Martinez scored an overtime goal. We all know that name, unfortunately. And you know, the good memories sort of ended there after we lost the cup final. But that, just those couple days in between, the anticipation of going into the finals, like the Stanley Cup finals, I can't believe we did it. And walking around Manhattan, hearing, you know, fire engines blaring their horns and sirens when they recognize a couple of us walking down the street. Everything about that spring and almost into summer was, you know, it was 10 years ago, but it was some of the best stuff I'll ever remember. It was so much fun to be a part of. We were always together. All the dinners, all the meetings, everything we did it together. You know, time off on the road, in the lounge, in the hotel room, playing cards, watching hockey, watching golf. The Rangers get a little bit of time now. They get some time. They really need to focus. I think they're a mature enough team to understand that. I'm looking forward to who they're going to play and what they're going to bring. But hopefully they, you know, obviously winning, and, you know, that's the ultimate motivation. But hanging on to those, getting to have those experiences with your teammates as long as you can is something that's a lot of motivation just to keep this thing going. So that was probably my best memory. Obviously, we went to the cup final, but that was really something special that I'll never forget.
The power play was firing down the end of the season. The penalty kill has been on point. And so especially teams, we talk about it all the time. I mean, it factors so much into a game. It factors into a series. And you're going to need, you know, excellent performances from both in order to keep moving along.
Hello and goodbye to the Capitals and episode 155 of Up in the Blue Seats, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. 3 stars. Molly, kick it off. Star of the series.
We're going to go for this whole series. I'm going to steal Vincent Trocheck from you, Brian. You always take Trocheck, so I'm going to take him this time. Second on the team in points. 3 goals, 3 assists through the series. Again, touching every single part of the Rangers game. Special teams was the number one storyline of this series, and Vincent Trocheck is the Rangers special team, so it's good.
Yeah, DNA all over. Every win was Troch and Mika. Mm-hmm. There's your 1-2 punch at center. He is my star. He has been, you know, what they need him to be. It wasn't quite there this year. I mean, defensively, he stuck to that, didn't cheat the game defensively. I'll give him credit for that during the year. He played really well in moments when they needed him. And I know it's a sweep, and I know Washington stinks. Sorry, not a good year for them.
Sorry.
But you still, yeah, sorry, eh? You still got to win the games, and it's not easy. And it can get, he can snowball quick. He was good. He was dialed in. He's going to need to take another step in the next round. And I think he will. It was encouraging.
An honorable mention goes to Captain Jack Roslovich with 4 points in the series. You got to give it to the guy. They get him at the deadline. Chris Drury made a couple big moves. They're playing their part here come playoff time. Unlike another name the Rangers traded for last year, which we won't mention here, who didn't come back this year. So shout out to him. But for back-to-back weeks, we're giving it to the fan base because they had the Igor chants going. They had DC yes. sounding like the Garden. So did the Knicks fans in Philly. And they said, F you, Tom Wilson. We're out of town. Sweep this bald head here. Here we go. Sweep it. That was a cruising sweep. Like, why were the Capitals in the playoffs if they weren't going to show up? This was just too easy. The Rangers didn't even play their best hockey, guys. Like, this was not the best Rangers team. Someone tweeted me, the Rangers did not show me enough that they'll go past round two. I think this was just a little appetizer for them. I think they're going to show up bigger and better next round. So shout out to the Rangers fans who made that little Excel like Molly did for, you know, 3.5. Do you have a comfortable ride? Do you have anyone next to you on your trip?
I did have someone next to me on my trip, but actually Michelle Gingras and I, the MSG Network, so she was on my train. So we rode back together for the final hour of the trip, which was very nice. So shout out to Michelle for keeping me company.
Always nice having someone next to you when you have to make them get up to go to the bathroom or whatever. Ranger sweep on a round two, and you can watch more coverage of the New York Post Sports Podcast, the Up in the Blue Seats podcast, on that YouTube page. Subscribe, give us that thumbs up below, comment below. Do you want the Hurricanes in round two? Do you want the Islanders to pull off the inevitable miracle comeback, which won't happen?
Islanders stink.
There's a lot of clips of you saying that, apparently.
Cut it, make it another clip.
Yeah, there's part two of the Islanders stink Brian Boyle montage video. So let us know in the comments, how you feeling about the Rangers? Are you confident going into round two? You can follow Molly on Twitter. That's Molly Walker, 2 E's, 2 R's. Brian Boyle at BryBrowse22 and Larry Brooks at NYP. _ Brooksy. Yes, Brian, that is an underscore next to his Twitter name. For Larry Brooks, Brian Boyle, Molly Walker, I'm Jake Brown. They got you covered. Coming up round two. Let's go. The playoff run goes on. Brian's got kids to pick up at the bus, but he said, this is the playoffs. I live for this.
It's the yoffs.
He's been deep in the playoffs, and the Rangers look to go deeper past round two and beyond. So stay tuned for next episode of Up in the Blue Seats. Go Rangers.
Islanders stink.